My brothers and my sisters, my church family, I love you. I'm thinking of you. Well, here we are on another Lord's Day. And I also want to welcome anyone, welcome friend, anyone who might be tuning in for the first time. We're glad you're here. I want to remind you to pull our worship guide. You can find it at cbccorpuschristi.com just above the video box. And you can download it to PDF file. You can view it on your phone or device. Or you could print it out for someone that doesn't have a digital device. But we're glad that you're joining us here today. And what a joy. Also want to encourage you and humbly invite you that if these teachings and these digital services and these sermons have been benefited you in some way, and we invite you to share them, to pass them along, spread the word. You can find us directly on Vimeo. Just search CBC Corpus on Vimeo, and there we are. You'll find all of our videos there. So we just invite you to spread the word and share the service with others that could benefit from the Word of God. Well, unbelievably, here we are in 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 13. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I'm going to invite you to open that or open your app to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And by sovereign design, it is amazing. It never ceases to amaze me, really. And I don't want to sound cliché-ish, but it never ceases to amaze me that God is giving us a text in this moment for such a time as this. And so I take great comfort that the Word of God is always speaking to us and always relevant. And so I'm thankful for the Lord, and I'm thankful for the Word of God that comforts me, that gives me a peace that passes all understanding, that continues to keep me in Him by His grace and mercy, and that today on this Lord's Day, we can still praise Him and worship Him for who He is, because He is our ultimate King and sovereign ruler. We thank God for that. So I take you to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Let us read the text together. It reads like this: "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we humbly come before you today thanking you for your grace and mercy over us. And as we reflect on what this text is saying and teaching us, Father, we are so grateful for the way that you spoke through the Apostle Peter so long ago that has strong relevance for us even today. And Father, we realize that we live in very tumultuous times. But Father, the one thing that settles us is the fact that we have been saved out of darkness into your marvelous light. And you have set us, Father, and you have instructed us to live to the glory of your name, that others might come to know you and to trust you by the way that you've called us to live. Thank you for that. Help us to see what we cannot see on our own. We pray that by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we might be nourished and taught and trained up in the Word of God and practice and live out this precious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you have saved us to, Father. We thank you for that. I thank you for the church. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are praying with me. I thank you for brothers and sisters across the world. And Father, together we join in just giving you honor and praise for who you are. You are our sovereign King. You are in sovereign rule and reign over everything that happens, and we are thankful for that. We rest in that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Again, follow along in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 13. And as we look at these things, four things I want you to note down, especially if you're journaling or taking notes, this is going to be important. The first thing is serve God. Serve God. Simple. Simple. It's easy to remember. Serve God. Always, what Peter's been doing here is helping us to understand what it means to live before the face of God. Live coram Deo. That's what that means. And we do that by serving him and him alone. He is our Savior. He is our King. Jesus is our King. And he is at the right hand of the Father. And we're thankful to the Lord that we can serve, that he's called us to serve him and him alone. Secondly, serve everyone. The text will teach us more about that one. Number two, serve everyone. Number three, serve your brothers and sisters. That involves more. It involves a deep love and compassion and concern and care for your brothers and sisters in Christ, because we now have been brought into the family of God. So serve your brothers and sisters. And finally, number four, serve your leaders. Serve your leaders. Serve the Lord. Serve God, number one. Number two, serve everyone. The people you don't know, people you come in contact with, everyone. That includes everyone. Number three, serve your brothers and sisters, those that are in your family in Christ. And number four, serve your leaders. Now here specifically, Peter is dealing with governmental leaders. And in his day, it is more likely that Nero was ruling and in power in Rome at the time, a ruthless leader, if you know anything about Nero. We'll get to that in a minute. But it calls us to the same kind of thing, respect and honor and serve your leaders. We'll see what that says in the text. So those four things give us an outline to work from as we work through this text. But let's start again. Verse 13, be subject. Under the heading of submission to authority, you'll see be subject or submit. The Greek word is hupotasso. And hupotasso is a word that carries a military significance having to do with ranking. Rank yourself properly. What is your rank in this world? And we realize that quickly, because we are sojourners and aliens in exile, living in the world but not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, praise God for that. But we are in the world. And how do we do that? How do we live to the glory of God in the world? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we live? These are imperatives that Peter is teaching here that are very, very critical and important. So that word hupotasso, again, means rank. Submit yourself. Put yourself under leadership. Realize where you are at in society. And he says, be subject, and he qualifies that, for the Lord's sake. Everything that we do is for the Lord's sake, believer, brother, or sister. What you do and how you share with others, how you love others, how you give, how you serve, in whatever way that you do that for the sake of the Lord. And here, this is no different. We are called to be, to rank ourselves properly, to submit to authority properly as unto the Lord for his sake. And then it says, to every human institution. The original language gives us the idea of something created. This is why we can do that, because it's not something ultimate. We don't serve earthly governments or earthly powers, earthly rulers, whether they're kings, presidents, or whatever they are. We don't serve them because they are ultimate authority. We serve them because the ultimate authority that we have is the ultimate authority of our sovereign King. And God in his sovereignty has called us to serve others for his sake and to his glory. So that's good news for us. But he wants us to do this rightly, to represent who we are now in Christ well. And that's a big lesson here that he's dealing with in regards to serving him, serving the Lord. So again, be subject, rank yourself properly, submit yourself to authority properly for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So these emperors, I remember, Peter lived in a day where more than likely Nero was ruler. He was a ruthless, hated Christians. And yet Peter's teaching this. He's not calling for an insurrection. He's not calling for believers to mobilize and try to overthrow Nero. Understand that. That is an important lesson to see in this text. And so that's why it's not what I say. It is what the Bible says. It is what God says through his word that teaches us and helps put things into perspective. And so we see that even in his day, Peter was called to serve well, to suffer well, to be a law-abiding citizen. Well, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? And this is what he's calling us to do. So these emperors could be, you know, for our context, it is, you know, we live in a republic. So we have a president, we have a government, we have that kind of thing. But you may be, you know, there may be some that live in a different system of government where in the country of origin or wherever you are located now. People around the world are in different contexts. But ultimately, the principle is the same, that we as believers are called to live to the glory of God in a way that honors him and that honors the testimony that we've been called to. And this is so critical as we think about what it means to be subject to human institutions that were created. They're not ultimate. God, who is the uncreated one, God who created all things, who put all this together, has created those who have created other institutions. And we can find a way to serve well even in that context. And so here he goes on to say, to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil or to praise those who do good. That basically speaks to the issue of, generally speaking, these governments are in place to protect others, to punish those who would break the law, so to speak. So we have other kinds of ideas about law that, if you break the law, these are the consequences. We have courts, we have police, we have authorities, we have judges, we have all kinds of things, whether they're federal or local or county or state, whatever it is, there are structures in place, governments in place to keep law in order, generally speaking. And so this is where you get that, punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. In other words, honor and reward those and thank those who are actually abiding by the law. They are law-abiding citizens. And so Peter's saying that we as believers are law-abiding citizens. Just by who we are now in Christ, we don't seek to do evil. We seek to do good, to serve even our enemy, to love our enemy, to serve everyone, because everyone bears the image of God. And that is really, really crucial when you think of what's being said in this verse. So now, in verse 15 is the fulcrum of this particular section. It's everything. It's the center of everything. Everything that happens before it and after it hinges and turns on this particular verse. And it's very, very important. Verse 15, read it with me again. For this is the will of God. We do things to the will of God. What is it? In fact, remember what Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done. And ultimately, that's what we pray. It may not seem like God's will, what we see happening all around us, no matter what it is, or what happens in your life personally, or in your family, or at work. How can this be the will of God? Well, we have to trust that God sovereignly, definitely knows what he's doing. And then Peter does the same thing. He teaches the same principle. He says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, by being law-abiding citizens, by serving everyone, by loving your enemy, by seeking to do good, here is what he's saying. You should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. That's an interesting phrase. You should put to silence. There will be nothing they can charge you with. There's nothing they can say against you because you have not done anything like that. That's the principle. That's the idea being communicated here, so that you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. People who are far from God are not saved, they haven't been regenerated by the Spirit of God. They don't know Christ. They haven't been brought to know the things of God. They don't know the difference between righteous living and unrighteous living. They are still slaves to sin, and that's why he brings up that word a little later in the text. But this here is God's will, that we, by doing good, should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people, people that we should care about and pray for. And we should allow God to use us in whatever means or by whatever means possible to be an example of the gospel, of the light of Christ to others. And so that becomes very, very crucial and important as we continue and as we follow this idea that Peter is giving us here. And now in verse 16, if you look at that with me, he gives us imperatives. And these are important imperatives. There are four of them you can see that kind of tie in with our outline, so to speak. And he gives us this, verse 16. Live, Remember, we are now alive in Christ. Amen? Live as people who are free. Thank God I'm free. Aren't you glad you're free in Christ? Amen? Live as people who are free. So then we live like that. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. What a tremendous imperative. Again, this great, basically Peter is preaching and giving us the application right here. Praise God. So this is the application of this text for us as believers. It's how we can apply it. We live as we have been made to live. We live to the glory of God. We live by the gospel. We live enabled by the Holy Spirit to love others who we would otherwise not love, to care for others who we would otherwise not care for, all of this kinds of thing. We live differently because we've been made alive. We've been saved. This is why we can enter into others' hurt and pain. And it's so crucial that we understand the veracity of what's going on here and why it is so, so important that we understand and put others before ourselves. Because I'll just give you a little illustration. Many times when we are hurting, and we express that hurt and that pain and that struggle that we're going through, and we feel the love of our brothers and sisters to come alongside and to put their hand on us and pray for us and to cry with us. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And we appreciate that. And we, thank God for that, that there are brothers and sisters in the church, in our Christian family, the family of God, who care for us that way. But when we cannot do that for someone else, when they're hurting, and they might be hurting about something that you don't understand, or maybe you don't even agree with, or you just, but that's where we are challenged to say, Lord, help me to be compassionate. As I have been given grace, and as I have been ministered to that way, help me minister to my brothers and sisters. Regardless of what the issues are, regardless of what's going on, may you continue to forge in me and soften my heart to that I may not just receive mercy, but give mercy. That I may not just receive love, but give love, especially to my brothers and sisters. And Peter points that out here in this text. So we continue with the imperatives, the application. Verse 17, look at these. Honor everyone. Remember, everyone is an image bearer. But that word honor in the original language is not merely the superficial understanding of honor. It's just not outward honor, where you don't really feel it. It's deep, deep. It's like respect on steroids. It's deep, deep honor and respect for everyone, because we've come to understand as believers that everyone is an image bearer of God. They bear the image of God. And therefore, God may have in his great sovereign mercy chosen them to be a part of your family. You just may not know it yet. And so we must honor everyone. It is important that we understand what God is teaching us through Peter in this text. Honor everyone. And then he says, love the brotherhood. Love. You'll notice he didn't say love everyone. He said honor and respect everyone, because frankly, we really can't deeply love rightly someone we don't know. We can love them in a certain way, yes, and I think that's the point he's making here. But we really love those that are in our family. We are called to love those that are brothers and sisters. They're of the household of faith. Many places in Scripture command us to do so, and we must do so. And that part of the text there, that imperative to love the brotherhood, means you must be there. As I said earlier, we must be willing to extend grace and mercy and pray for and be there and suffer and cry with and weep with, rejoice with those who rejoice. All of that kind of thing has to happen in the context of relationship in the church and the body of Christ. And we can do that better. And so I take heed. I pray that you would take heed and say, how can I love my brothers and sisters better? I may not agree with everything, but I must love them. That's what I'm called to do. I'm not called to seek out those that I agree with. I'm called to love my brothers and sisters. That is the word of God. Love the brotherhood. And this last two, fear God. Peter interjects this because all of this is under a holy fear, a rightful fear of God's holiness and God's call and God's presence and God's rule and reign in everything. Fearing God means we trust that he is in sovereign, ultimate control of even the events that you and I find ourselves in right now in this country. God is in control, and I take great comfort in that. And I fear him. I fear him because I realize that if he chooses to do something that I don't want, I trust him anyway because I'm called to honor him and to worship him. It's an issue of worship, fearing God. And last, honor the emperor. And again, you would think Peter, knowing all that he knows about Roman rulers, especially Nero, who would ultimately take Peter's own life, and Peter would be a martyr for the gospel. Because there is a point in which, yes, you honor the emperor in every way that you can. By law, you submit to every earthly institution and you do it as unto the Lord. But when you are asked, as we have seen in the Old Testament, in Daniel and other places like that, stories you're very familiar with, there may come a time where you have to defy if it's something that's calling you to dishonor God, to not worship. Remember, because he's first. Because your allegiance and your worship to God is first and foremost. And yet that God calls you to be in submission, rightly and legally and lovingly, to leadership. So honor the emperor. Honor and respect your leaders and serve them by being law-abiding citizens and not doing things that are contrary to the law. We all see how that works out in a society when that doesn't happen. And this is why we need to pray more than ever that the gospel of Jesus Christ go forth on the internet, in social media, and whatever other means, from every pulpit, that we would begin to hear more and more the truth of the Word of God and work ourselves, that we need to pray specifically for the church, for Christians and believers, especially in the West and in this nation, that we would seek the face of God and be steeped, more steeped in the truth that is the Word of God. So this is how we do this. Now I want to take you to a couple of passages as we think about how this is working out. In Romans chapter 13, we can get another sense of what Paul talked about, as what Peter's talking about here. In Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." Praise God. "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience." See, this is deeper than the external, you know, be a law-abiding citizen. It comes from the heart, where we understand who we are in Christ and how we are to live as believers, even as sojourners and exiles in this world. So again, therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And that's the idea. That's even our title this morning, honor to whom honor is due. Remember what Paul told Titus later, again, in teaching other young and up-and-coming young teachers and preachers in the Lord. Titus was one of those. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Remind them," Paul saying to Titus, "remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one." Boy, we could really use that today. "To avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people." Man, I urge you to please look at these texts. Again, you find them on the worship guide. Please read them with your own eyes. Don't just listen to me read them. See them there. And let the Word of God do a work in all of us as we see what's going on. Remember, this is important because you have the story in Genesis of Joseph. Remember, Joseph was sold by his brothers, and I don't have time to get into all the details, but ultimately he was thrown into prison because he was seeking to do the right thing, to do good and not do bad. Really, as a servant of God, because he knew what was right. He feared God, so that's why he ran from Potiphar's wife. And now, after having been in prison, and now through a series of events that happen that have to do with interpreting dreams, we find him now having explained to Potiphar, to Pharaoh, what was going on here, right? To Pharaoh. And this is a very well-known story you can find in Genesis 39, 40, and 41. But in Genesis 41, beginning of verse 36 or 38, I should say, Genesis 41, 38, he says, "And Pharaoh said to his servants," this is important, what does it mean to be a law-abiding citizen, to be a Christian in this world? It says, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Wow, think about that. Just let me read that again. Can we find, this is Pharaoh, after hearing everything that Joseph had to say, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this," amen. Look at how Joseph's life was representing God to Pharaoh. "There is none so discerning and wise as you are." Just through even through the suffering, everything that Joseph went through, and then you know the story, he was put in charge, he was second in command, and it was amazing what had happened there. Then we have another story found in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 25, where Paul and Silas have been taken into prison. You can read the whole chapter there, and you can get the sense of the story. And because they were spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel, and they dealt with this demoniac, this girl, and it became a huge thing, and they hated them for what they had done. So they threw them into jail unjustly. And even then, they were taken to jail, and they were in prison. But they were worshiping, and they were praying. It says in verse 25, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." How many of us can take a lesson from that? How many of us are praying in the dark hour? How many of us are singing and worshiping God even when it's dark and we don't know what's going to happen, but yet we know who we serve? We know in whom we serve. And so about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Others were listening in. This is why it's important to respond to what's being taught here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open. Amen. And everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, pay attention here, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he knew what that meant. Back then, they didn't just write you up. They took you out. And so he understood. He goes, "I don't want to go through that. I'm just going to kill myself." And look at this. "Supposing that the prisoners had escaped," because what would, you know, those that do not know Christ and those were, you know, slaves to sin, what would they would, of course, take the opportunity and fly out of that prison and go and escape. It's a great opportunity, wasn't it? But look what happens. "Supposing that the prisoners had escaped, but Paul cried with a loud voice," the servant of God, the one who served God, the one who served everyone, the one who served his brothers and sisters, the one who served his leaders in spite of the suffering and in spite of all of the things he had to go through under that leadership. What did he say? "Do not harm yourself." Boy, if we could say that to those who are in need today. Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, look what God began to do in the heart of this man. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's what we pray for, that through our godly conduct, through our humility and love and care for everyone and for others, especially those of the household of faith and even to government leaders, that some, maybe even one, would say, "What must I do?" That they would see the godly character, that they would see the godly living in our lives and say, "What must I do to be saved?" What? And they believed. They believed. The jailer and his family believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. That is the ultimate thing. That's the gospel message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. We can take a lot from these things. Again, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." So we are doing what Peter is saying to do here. We're doing it as unto the Lord. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. That's why we shouldn't have this division even in the church. Yes, we have division in the country, but it's sad when we have it in the church, and we have it in the church. What a disgrace. May God help us, and may we, church, repent and understand that God has called us to not be partial, but to be impartial and to be united as a body of Christ. James 1:25, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Galatians 5:1, "Christ has set us free, brothers and sisters. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Once we were enslaved to sin, chained up, had no way of escape, and then we were made alive in Christ. Just like what happened in that jail in Paul and Silas's day, the same thing happened to us. The doors were flung open and we were free to live in Christ. But now we live a different kind of slavery, because that word, slavery, that word that is brought up in this text is doulos, the Greek word doulos, which means bondservant or slave, a slave to Christ. So you're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And so let's pray that we would not be, thrust back in to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5, later in that verse, beginning of verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, freedom to serve." You are free to serve others. You are free. You don't have to worry about anything. You are free to love others, to love your enemies, to serve everyone, even your leaders, because it's what God has called you to do, and you are blessed if you do it, and you are free indeed ultimately. And he says, "Only do not use your freedom," Galatians 5:13, "do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." There's that word again. Put them first. Put them first. Serve one another. "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." This is what we pray against. Romans 12:10, Paul talks about this. Romans 12:12, "Love one another with brotherly affection." Care for your brother and sister. Again, we are so easily tempted and prone to just receive the care but not give the care. You must be willing to give what has been given to you. And finally, as it speaks to worshiping and reverencing God, Proverbs 24:21, which Peter brings up in this text, my son, fear the Lord and the King, and do not join in with those who do otherwise. Let me read that one more time and listen carefully. My son, that is a child of God, fear the Lord and the King. Be respectful to the King and to the leaders, and do not join in with those who do otherwise, who seek to overthrow, who do not submit to authority, who fight authority, who war against right, righteousness. Those are not the things that we are called to do as believers. We are called to submit to our leaders. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and the way that you've taught us in this text to serve you, to serve everyone, to serve our brothers and sisters, to serve even our leaders. Leaders who may be ungodly, leaders who may do wrong. We know this in other countries, especially where there's great persecution and great hatred for the name of Christ. I think of Nero and what he did to blame that fire on Christians in the AD 60s, Father. What a horrible thing. But that is still happening today, and yet we are blessed as your people to be able to still submit to every human institution as unto you. to knowing that we are in submission to you ultimately. And by doing what you've called us to do, Father, we honor you. We reverence you. We represent you in the way that we live. We know we have to live differently because you've called us to live differently. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we consider what we've been taught. Help us, Lord, to follow you and to serve each other with great love and affection. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.